Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
With me, Zipporah Nyambura. Thank you for all of you listening to us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Feel free to share this audio and leave us your comments.
That's right indeed. Coming up on the program, Zimbabwe's opposition says security agents have been torturing their supporters days after Emmerson Mnangagwa was re-elected as head of state.
It was not helpful to say the elections were free and fair. My husband was tortured over a person he does not know or have any links with.
Democratic Republic of Congo opposition leader Moise Katumbi has vowed to return and submit his presidential bid despite being denied entry in his home country.
I'm going to fight. I'm going to use the Constitution of Congo. I also want to use the St. Sylvester political agreement. I'm going to fight until everyone participates in the election.
And Venezuela has intensified the search for those suspected to be behind a failed assassination attempt on President Nicolas Maduro with explosives-laden drones.
Right, we have that and much more. But first, let's hear what has been happening around the world.
I'm Shay Meineke with DW News. An Iraqi court sentenced on Monday a German woman and a French man to life in prison for joining the so-called Islamic State militant group. German citizen Nadia Hammann was arrested along with her mother last year in the Iraqi city of Mosul, which served as the de facto capital for the militants. Hammann claimed she tried to run from IS while in Syria. French citizen Laysan Debouge claimed he traveled to the Middle East only to convince his eldest son not to join the militant group. Both are expected to appeal their sentences. In Zimbabwe, President-elect Emmerson Mnangagwa has appealed for calm after narrowly winning in last week's election. It comes on the heels of complaints made by the opposition MDC party, the Movement for Democratic Change, who say the ruling ZANU-PF party has cracked down on opposition voices. Despite the turmoil, Mnangagwa urged Zimbabwe to unite behind him during an exclusive interview over the weekend.
The elections are behind us. We should now put our shoulders to the wheel for purposes of modernizing our economy, growing our economy. We say Zimbabwe is ours together. Let's move on.
Rescue crews are continuing their search for survivors after a nearly 7.0 magnitude earthquake struck the tourist Indonesian island of Lombok on Sunday, killing at least 98 people. More than 13,000 houses and businesses were flattened during the quake, and thousands of people, including tourists, fled the island. National disaster spokesperson Sutopo Nugroho warned the death toll could rise.
Up to this afternoon, there's an additional 7 people dead, all found in western Lombok. So in total, we have 98 dead. 96 died in Lombok and 2 in Bali, with northern Lombok suffering the worst.
This news comes to you from DW, Germany's international broadcaster. A deadly heat wave has continued to wreak havoc across Europe as temperatures near 40 degrees Celsius and higher. In the Portuguese southern Algarve tourist region, more than 1,000 firefighters using over 300 vehicles battled a forest fire on Monday. The fire, which started on Friday and is still not under control, injured at least 24 people. One person was seriously injured during the blaze. In Germany, thousands of fish in the Rhine River were killed due to nearly record-setting temperatures. And in France, authorities warned of increased ozone pollution and banned polluting cars from entering Paris, Lyon, and Strasbourg. 4 nuclear reactors were also closed in the country. And finally, Japan has marked 73 years since the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Tens of thousands of people attended the ceremony to pay respects to the victims. More than 140,000 people were killed in the bombing, and around 70,000 were killed in the bombing of Nagasaki that took place 3 days later. For more news and information, visit our website at dw.com. I'm Shay Meineke.
This is DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. A warm welcome to all of you listening to us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Evangelist Carl there telling us of the situation in southern Cameroon. David Molel says hello. And Mweni Lucky plus Padimo giving us a thumbs up. Thank you very much.
Thanks indeed. Now we begin the program in Zimbabwe, where 27 members of the opposition party, the Movement for Democratic Change, appeared in court today on violence charges after post-election protests that triggered a security crackdown. President Emmerson Mnangagwa declared winner of the historic first election since the downfall of Robert Mugabe, has vowed to protect rights since his re-election, but the opposition says the members have been targeted.
Indeed, there have been alleged reports of torture by suspected state security agencies over the weekend in night raids and brief abductions similar to the disputed 2008 elections. Human rights watch groups say this could tarnish the image of the country, which had been given a chance to hold peaceful elections. DW correspondent in Harare, Privilege Mushaniri, has more.
The elections in Zimbabwe might be over, but many are still recounting events since the re-election of Emmerson Mnangagwa as president.
We should not have had these elections. It was not helpful to say the elections were free and fair. I wish they could have just told us that the ruling party will remain in power forever. This is common knowledge since I was born. My husband was tortured over a person he does not know or have any links with.
That is Letwine Mugabe, a 38-year-old mother of two, who tells me she woke up to unusual visitors wearing masks and carrying rifles in their home in the suburb of Highfields. They were demanding the whereabouts of an opposition youth leader who once stayed at her house. Letwin says her husband and their neighbor were then briefly abducted and tortured to reveal details of the opposition leader whom they have no links with. This is just one of the reported cases of intimidation against opposition supporters in the aftermath of just concluded elections. Human Rights Watch has documented some of the violations. Dewama Vinga, the director for Southern Africa, speaks.
It's a things fall apart scenario where really the veneer of a new dispensation of human rights respect has just come off suddenly because of the very tightly fought race in terms of elections. There is panic within the security establishment.
Political analyst Alexander Rosero says the 30 July election results reflects a divided society, judging by the margin of 50.8%, the incumbent president won the elections.
You have Mnangagwa faced with the challenge of playing the unifier role in a deeply divided and polarized society along political lines. So one way or the other, he might not necessarily require or consider a GNU, but his government must exhibit some forms of inclusivity in as much as the people he will be governing is concerned.
Zimbabwe's political space had opened up since November 2017 when authoritarian ruler Robert Mugabe was ousted from power. Hopes are that reason will prevail to avoid the country sliding back to gross human violations recorded in the past.
Privilege Mushaniri with that report.
And of course, as you've heard from our correspondent, Privilege Mushaniri, the opposition is crying foul, Zippy.
Yes.
But according to some of the comments we have on our Facebook page, that is DW Africa, like the one from Avian Mianda has caught my eye. He says, Chamisa, please just accept election results. You may have campaigned better in urban areas than in rural areas. That's why you lost. He puts it bluntly that way and says, go back to the drawing board, be courageous and strong like Changirai.
But not all the people think the same, because Jacqueline Mweni is actually wondering and asking, why did Zimbabweans elect a 75-year-old for president? And she says the 50.8% win was also very questionable.
Our usual contributor, Isaac Godwin Ehoza, says, time for a new chapter and focusing on what this government can do for the citizens.
The last one here from Makuovo Bravery, who says, more trouble for us looms. The economy is going plummet. How will President Mnangagwa convince the investors that the country is safe?
Just keep that debate flowing on our Facebook page, as usual, DW Africa. Now, in other news making headlines around the world away from Africa, investigators are hunting for assailants behind a failed attempt to assassinate Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro with explosives-laden drones. Six people have already been arrested in connection with the incident, which happened during a military parade in the capital, Caracas.
President Maduro escaped unhurt, but many opposition leaders have already left the country, citing government harassment. I talked to my colleague from DW's Latin America department, Carolina Chimoy, who starts by telling us the situation in Venezuela at the moment.
Well, there is a lot of confusion. As you know, there are two different versions about the explosions Saturday during Maduro's speech. On the one side, the government from Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro assure that these explosions were a terrorist attack against him, an assassination attempt. At the beginning, he even accused President Juan Manuel Santos from the neighbor country, Colombia, of orchestrating this attack, but Santos denied this immediately. Maduro also accused the United States of having planned this attack, but also Washington rejected the charge immediately.
What are the people in Venezuela saying about it? What do they think about the whole incident?
Well, the opposition, again, they reassure that this is just a show staged by the President Maduro. And there are also some who support Nicolas Maduro in his opinion that this is an attempt attack against him. So the opinion is really divided. But this goes, of course, along with this crisis that the country is witnessing already for 5 years.
The opposition has said they fear that Maduro will use it as an excuse to suppress them. Do we expect to see a further political crackdown against his critics and the opposition?
Well, we have been seeing already terrible scenes coming from Venezuela, not only a political crackdown, but also one of the worst economic crises. And Maduro has been announcing several economic reforms he wants to implement in the economy of Venezuela to bring the country out of the crisis. So these whole reforms are being also strongly criticized, and that's what the opposition claims, that Maduro is using this alleged attempt to justify, in a way, the reforms he's going to bring, and also to avoid, in a way, more protests and more voices against him and his policies.
Carolina Chimoy from our DW's Latin America department in Berlin. And now back to Africa. The Africa Union, AU, has now called for an all-inclusive ballot in the Democratic Republic of Congo general elections after opposition leader Moise Katumbi was denied entry to contest for the presidential post.
And despite being barred from entering the country on Friday last week, Katumbi has said he will not give up getting home for the elections. He has only 2 days before the deadline this Wednesday to submit his presidential bid. Eunice Wanjiru has more on that report.
Katumbi's supporters today took to the streets protesting government's move to block him from entering the country to file his presidency bid. Moise Katumbi has been in exile in Belgium since 2016 after falling out with President Joseph Kabila. The DRC government accuses him of offences against state security. He has, however, maintained he will try all venues to get into the country.
They denied me entry the first day, they refused my entry the second day, and informed my team that Congo would not let me in. Despite all that, Kabila forgot that there's our constitution, a great constitution, the Saint Sylvester Accord, a great agreement. I'm going to fight. I'm going to use the Constitution of Congo. I also want to use the Saint Sylvester political agreement. So be strong and don't be discouraged. I'm going to fight until everyone participates in the election.
The DRC opposition leader accuses his opponent, Joseph Kabila, of denying the people a chance to select the president of their choice.
The time has arrived. We don't need a one man who's oppressed all the people. We're 80 million Congolese people. Together we shall be strong, and together we are going to change our country. And the most important thing for us is peace.
Et le plus important pour nous, c'est la paix.
President Kabila, who has been in power for 17 years, has not spelled out if he will stand again for the top post and is yet to submit his candidacy. The elections, which have now been postponed twice, are due to take place on December 23rd.
Eunice Wanjiru with a report. And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Isaac Mugabe.
That's right, and I'm Zipporah Nyambura. And as usual, giving a shout out to all our listeners on our Facebook page. Joe Agu talking there about the opposition leaders in his country. And we have Blackman Macha who is saying hello. So thank you very much. Continue giving us your feedback. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, mothers in Uganda encouraged to breastfeed their children at least up to the age of two. The men have been advised to desist from a rather bad habit, as this mother explains.
I'm supposed to breastfeed for 6 consecutive months. So if I start breastfeeding my husband as well, the milk won't be enough for my child. I can't allow that.
Zipporah, the question is to breastfeed or not to breastfeed. The mother is complaining, men, please leave the breasts for the babies and the mothers.
That's quite an interesting one. Make sure you stay around and listen to that.
Exactly.
But first we head to South Sudan, where a peace deal has been revived. Hope not just for the guns will stop firing, but that economic stability can return.
And previous deals have failed to end the conflict, and residents of the capital, Juba, said they are desperate for this one to succeed. DW's Krishna Kripal has been speaking to Douglas Johnson, a researcher and author on South Sudan, and he's been telling her about the prospects of this new peace deal. Take a listen.
Well, just about all peace agreements in Sudan and South Sudan since 2005 have not been real peace agreements. They've been truces. Part of the problem, of course, is implementation. Who is going to monitor implementation? Who is going to guarantee implementation, etc.? We'll have to wait and see. Part of the problem, of course, is that the way in which this peace agreement has been put together and the way in which other peace agreements in South Sudan have been put together is that it's a power-sharing agreement and not really addressing the fundamental political and constitutional issues of South Sudan. So you now have 5 vice presidents, you've got an expanded assembly, you've got attempts to put give people positions all along from the very top to the local state.
You mentioned some steps and some problems that need to be addressed in order to guarantee peace. What would be the priorities in your view?
There are, of course, the security priorities as well as the political priorities. Right now, there has been a proliferation of armed groups right throughout South Sudan. You have within the SPLA itself, the National Army, a number of units that are very poorly disciplined, very poorly trained, and have been involved in some of the worst atrocities of the war. Something's got to be done about them. To be disbanded would be one thing that would help give people a sense that maybe security was going to be reestablished. But a lot of the other armed groups are not organized military groups, they are armed civilians. Some of them have been represented in this peace agreement, but we don't know for sure whether the people who have signed on behalf of armed groups really represent them. And as long as the armed groups are there as autonomous units who have been set up for their own self-defense or for their own offense against their neighbors, we don't quite know how security is going to be reestablished. It's not going to be established by incorporating all of these armed groups into a national army. The National Army is far too big, it's far too poorly trained, and it's far too ill-disciplined. So there's going to have to be something that deals with that in the long term.
If this peace agreement holds, what will it mean for the region, especially taking into account the recent peace agreement between neighboring Ethiopia and Eritrea?
If this peace agreement holds, it can only be good news for the region in general, because the insecurity in South Sudan has affected the neighbors, both Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Sudan. There are South Sudanese refugees in all of those countries. I wonder to what extent it will actually lead to greater security in Sudan. The comprehensive peace agreement ended with the independence of South Sudan, has not brought peace to Sudan. There are still fighting in the Blue Nile area and in the Nuba Mountains with groups that were formerly part of the SPLA. I think that what Khartoum wants and what now South Sudan will probably have to do is to cease to give any sort of support to the insurgencies in those two areas. But that by itself won't necessarily bring peace and stability to Sudan.
Douglas Johnson speaking to DW's Christina Kripal. Now, some of you have been commenting on this latest peace agreement that was signed, whether it would hold or not, just like the previous ones. And of course, we are glad to read what you've been sharing on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Hussein Adams says, I don't trust these two people, Riek Machar and President Salva Kiir. They have neglected their people and are fighting for what they can amass for themselves and have forgotten about the suffering of the people.
So many people are very skeptical there, Isaac. Mm-hmm. Ayu Buinga Joseph says, five vice presidents in a country, what a mess. Looting and sharing the resources of the poor people they claimed they're going to take care of.
Well, Joseph, just to let you know that this was part of the agreement from the different warring factions in the South Sudan to give out, you know, to dish out as much as they can regarding the vice presidency, Riek Machar and other rebel leaders. Nevertheless, many thanks for your concerns. Frank Victor says, oh, he wonders, over 500 lawmakers are just too much. And how can a young nation like South Sudan have five vice presidents?
Yeah, which just, 500 lawmakers would actually be too much.
That's, I think, too, is too much, yes.
Yeah, Abubakar Aliyu says, such an expensive lifestyle for just few individuals while their citizens continue to swim in poverty.
And as usual, we appreciate very much your comments and the shares of the stories that we post on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Just keep it that way. We still have so much in stock for you. Don't go away, and we'll be back right after this.
Health check.
Well, it's that time of the week when we bring you stories concerning the health or health check. Now, as the world observes the Breastfeeding Week, the Minister of Health in Uganda has cautioned young mothers over failure to breastfeed their babies for fear of developing sagging breasts. Zippy, I can see you warming up.
Well, and here is the interesting part. Men have also been cautioned against the growing trend of demanding to suckle breastfeeding mothers with the belief that these will strengthen their immune system and improve their sexual performance. From Kampala, Frank Iga sent this report.
At Mulago National Referral Hospital, I met Lydia Kawa breastfeeding her baby as she waits in queue to see her doctor. She tells me she wouldn't in any way allow her husband to feed on her baby's food.
I'm supposed to breastfeed for 6 consecutive months. So if I start breastfeeding my husband as well, the milk won't be enough for my child. I can't allow that.
Abdu Kamoge Boda Boda Rider tells me that he sees no harm in sharing the breast milk with his one-year-old baby. He tells me he believes it has strengthened his immunity and given him energy to do his daily errands.
I see no problem with that. Men should speak out the truth that we suckle breast milk like the kind of boda boda job I do requires me a lot of strength. So I need to take a bit of that milk. You don't easily fall sick. My fellow men can testify to breastfeeding. They are only scared of speak out.
According to the Minister of Health, every 100 mothers who breastfeed, only 66% are the ones who exclusively breastfeed their children, which poses a challenge to infants. Minister Saro Pendi tells me research shows young mothers who do not want to breastfeed and men are a threat to breastfeeding children.
Our biggest problem now is young mothers of today who think the breasts should be for pleasure, to please their husbands and something like that. And so they don't want to breastfeed the children, saying that breasts will sag. So we want to encourage the young mothers, please breastfeed your children because it is healthy and this breast milk is the best milk, best gift that you can give to your child. We have also got information that there are men who take the milk and there's nothing left for the baby. So please leave the milk for the babies. This misconception that you can take this milk and also, you know, build your immunity as an adult will not help you in any way. If you have any disease, please go to the hospital and get treatment for it. And we should discourage that because it's a habit that is growing slowly in this country.
That is a health practitioner there talking about the fact that breast milk is actually in competition, not just for the babies, but also from the men.
Yes.
This is quite interesting.
I don't know whether it's interesting or whether it's actually sad, because I only expect, you know, the breast milk to belong only to the baby, you know. Or if it doesn't go in the mouth of the baby, maybe to the bottles and goes to the breast milk bank, as we reported, just to cater for those young orphans or motherless children.
But that man said that it strengthens his immune system.
Yes, in that report we heard of the Boda Boda rider. For those who don't know what Boda Boda is, there are those who ride motorcycles for money as taxis. He said that, you know, his colleagues are just afraid of coming out and speak, but they do suckle on the mother's breast. Anyway, bad habits. We have your comments. Well, Kane James, the purpose of breast milk is to feed the child and only the child for 6 months.
And I don't understand that other theory about sagging breast, about breastfeeding.
Let me explain to you here, because someone has a comment there. Women shouldn't be afraid of their breasts sagging. After all, the purpose is to breastfeed the baby.
Of course, that is the whole purpose. And that is what the World Health Organization calls for, breastfeed the baby. So you can also give us your feedback on that and your comment. How is it in your country and men out there? Are you also doing the same? Feel free to join the debate on DW Africa.
Now, every Monday, we give you another dose of sports, you know, some of the weekly matches in Africa that happened, or any other analysis concerning basically Africa. And here is Sela Onekwo with a report.
Clarence Seedorf has been appointed head coach of the Cameroon national team, with his former Netherlands teammate Patrick Kluivert as his assistant. Cameroon's Minister of Sport, Pierre Ismaël Bidung Pat, made the announcement this weekend, and there's been a lot of excitement in Cameroon, especially as Kluivert was a darling of many soccer fans in Africa during his heydays.
The best solution we have got at the moment is to finalize the recruitment of Clarence Seedorf to the post of trainer of the national team and Patrick Kluivert as his assistant trainer for the Indomitable Lions.
The two former AC Milan players take over from Belgian Hugo Broos, who left last year after the Indomitable Lions failed to qualify for the World Cup in Russia. Cameroon will host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations next June, where they will be the defending champions after lifting their fifth title in Gabon last year. To England now, where the former England under-21 international, Saido Berahino, has been cleared to play for Burundi. The Stoke City forward has 47 England caps from the under-16 to under-21 level. FIFA gave the 25-year-old the go-ahead to play for the country of his birth after the English FA confirmed Berahino was not playing for them at competitive level. Berahino arrived in the UK from Burundi as a 10-year-old with his mother and siblings, and the family was granted political asylum.
Since I've come in this country, I've had a second chance in life almost, you know. I fled away from Burundi when it was war-torn, and then coming in this country, you know, with my family, not really knowing anything about the country, the history, anything, and they've almost provided a second life for me and my family, you know. So representing England would be something really amazing for me, and I'd be really honoured to be a part of.
Choosing to play for either England or Burundi wasn't going to be an easy decision for Berahino to make. So where then exactly does he think he belongs? Is it England, his adopted country, or his motherland, Burundi?
I think it's fair to say I'm still a Burundian, you know. Back home, we speak Swahili, we speak our language. And so that culture is always going to be in me forever, I think. My mum doesn't really speak English at home, so I'm always that. So I've grew up with two cultures, really, so I'm almost in the middle of both.
And in the ongoing Under-21 Women's World Cup tournament, Germany beat Nigeria's Falconets 1-0 in their opening group stage matches. The Nigerians now have to win both matches to be guaranteed a spot in the last 16.
Sela Onoko with that report. And of course, some of you are commenting on the sports. I think they're in Cameroon. Zippy say new coaches for Cameroon's Indomitable Lions. Chooks Ojodi says, fantastic. Two Dutch legends, Seedorf, I remember well with AC Milan back then.
And all deaf answers, happily they come, sadly they shall leave. And he goes on to say the terms of their contracts will never be respected by Cameroon.
Yeah, hopefully all goes well. And Congo's health ministry is preparing to begin Ebola vaccinations on Wednesday to stop a new Ebola outbreak. And Godwin Ehoza says, I thought they were just declared free not too long ago. How comes again?
And Daniel Manford is asking, what's wrong with Democratic Republic of Congo and Ebola? They can't seem to overcome the disease. Thank you very much.
Atienda says, too bad, we are praying for you. Many thanks for the production crew behind the scenes there. And of course, on behalf of the rest of the team at Africa Link, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura.
Bye for now.